Good evening, friends and family. Once again, we are here. We are on the Sunday morning breakfast, Monday night live, Monday night learning center, Monday night raw, and we are truly enjoying in another night to ask questions, to share testimonies, to just enjoy, be joyful in God's word. And we are excited that you are with us. Right at the pre-call, I pondered throughout a question to ponder, is there anything that we can't live without? Just something that we really should be questioning and really should be testing ourselves to see if there's something that we feel we can't live without. Let's see if we can test not having it in our lives. But just something to keep in mind as we go forward on this call. So let's get started with our leader, Mr. Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr.
Good evening.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
Great, thank you.
Let's go ahead and touch into this topic real quickly. But before we do that, let's go ahead and open up with prayer so we can go ahead and get started. So please open us up in prayer, please.
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to continue to serve you. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful for the blessing of this ministry, the blessing to be able to be here and talk about I'm not materialistic, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, as we go forward on this call, let's go forward with open hearts, open minds to just receive of you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this ministry, and in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So is Mr. DJ here yet?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mr. DJ?
Just fine, sir. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. So go ahead and share some light about this topic for this past week. How did it impact you? I mean, in terms of, you know, what did you learn more about the topic? Not so much what you already knew, but what did you learn about this topic about I'm not materialistic?
At first glance, when I saw the topic, I said, no, I'm not materialistic. But as the week progressed, I saw some things that kind of went over my head that I was not even paying attention to that suggested otherwise. You know, I often kept thinking about these two families that we used to talk about, the Tate family versus the Shun family. And for those of you that don't know the story, the Tate family, the Tate family had, you know, different members to it, you know, and they were like there was a family member named Hesitate. Then you had the father, Mr. Agitate, you know, and then I think the mother-in-law was Irritate. All these things were due to materialistic things that cause these people to be called a Tate family. And we need to be more like the Shun family. And the Shun family were named after stuff like education, evaluation, collaboration. You know, knowledge is power. So the more you learn and gather and stray away from materialistic things, things that are not of substance that you can actually do without, then you'll be part of the whole Shun family, which were those things that are internal. And you take those things with you. They're not materialistic. They're definitely an asset, but they typically come from God. And that's something that only He can give you. You can reach out for all day long, but that's not something tangible that you're going to take with you, quote unquote, once we leave from here. And it's easy to fall into the trap. And that's the thing that I also learned, you know, about materialistic. You know, like I said, it'll sneak up on you to where you don't even really realize it. You'll be like, man, I'm being like that? I'm like, okay, let me back away from this thing here. I done put too much time into it, or I'm spending a little too much energy into this. And it ends up, for those of us that are real, making you look in the mirror and be like, you know what, you're being selfish. You're really being selfish. You know, that's all about you, self-gratification. You're not even trying to, you know, deal with this thing the correct way. So you have to be careful about about labeling things materialistic or even saying that you're not materialistic, because all of us have something in us in which we can say, yes, we are. It's almost like saying, I don't sin. You know, we all have all short. You may not have done it in a while, but we all have. We all have sinned. You know, so with that whole materialistic thing, you know, it just really caused me to take a step back and look in the mirror and see what's really going on.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
So for one, the thing that really came home to me and that learning, first thing was that materialistic was things. But it's what did God give to me that I'm holding on just for me? And what are the things that I am not passing through to give to others? Where am I being and selfish in my blessings that is causing me to be materialistic? The other thing is, what are the posts, as we started the call, thing that really I took away was what are things that I can't live without? Because then I'm putting that above God, because God is, if I believe that God can provide everything that I need, then I don't need to be worried about what possessions are in my life. And they should be able to be gone, because that's what things do. Things could be here 1 minute and be gone the next. So just reflecting on what is really important to me, what God provides or the things that money provides. So those are two things that really stood out for me this week.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what it is, y'all. Okay. So I hope everybody has an opportunity now, because we're starting on our live feed now, and we're talking about, again, you know, I'm not materialistic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Managing those worldly possessions. Okay. I'm not materialistic, managing worldly possessions. Here, it gets really interesting. Can y'all see me on that? How are you doing, Ms. Tamara and Ms. Latanya? Here's where this thing gets interesting. When we say, you know, I'm not materialistic, how you, Sandra and Ms. Krista? You know, materialism, you know, goes way beyond the scope of what we deem to know as materialistic. For instance, when you say prosperity, everybody know what prosperity is, right? The prosperity teaching and all that kind of stuff. So when we talk about, you know, materialism, it gets deep. Miss Tiana just alluded to something, Mr. DJ. Miss Tiana, tell them again, you know, what you said about you're not, as far as possessions and whatnot.
With possessions, what are things that I can't live without? What are the things that I prefer to have than thinking about what God can give me instead of the things that I can buy?
Okay. So this is where it gets interesting. How you doing, Ms. Brenda and Ms. Rogers? McCray, how are you? Ms. Asia and Ms. Veronica. When we talk about materialism, a lot of times we never want to admit that we're materialistic. Is that fair to say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, how you doing, Ms. Katina? Most people don't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, how are you? Okay. Here's the thing. A lot of us have mastered, how you doing, Ms. Shabri? A lot of us have mastered not collecting items. So we'll say that we're not materialistic. Good for you. But do you think just because you don't collect a lot of items, you're not materialistic? How you doing, Ms. Corsha and Ms. Shani?
No, sir.
I used to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just because you've mastered the area does not mean that you're not materialistic. What'd you say, Mr. DJ?
I said this week changed that opinion. I said I used to.
That's right. So
mm-hmm.
Careful. How you doing, Ms. Latricia? I'm Ms. Lateria. I'm sorry, Ms. Walls. So be careful. Because a lot of times we want to label everyone else instead of labeling ourselves, you know, sweeping around our own front door.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Talk of the areas where we are materialistic at. You know, we're materialistic when it comes to the items that we want that we place before God. You want the perfect marriage, or you want the marriage. Or I'm about to say something now. Some people may get mad and get off. That's fine, but I got to tell the truth. See, I'm fine with it. Here's the thing. Wanting the perfect marriage and don't have the perfect marriage makes you materialistic. Let me explain myself right quick, Mr. DJ. See, if I'm not mistaken, just like when you tell your young daughters, come on, fellas, young ladies, you tell your daughters, how you doing, Ms. Gosher and Ms. Princess? Yeah, we would tell our daughters, hey, you know, before you date them, you need to date your daddy. And when you date your daddy, you know how to date them. How you doing, Ms. Comedian, right?
Okay.
Ms. Kenyatta, how you doing? Here's the thing. Why do we want a perfect marriage and don't consider our marriage as material, being materialistic? How can you want a perfect husband or a perfect spouse or a perfect wife and a perfect children and everything just to be good around you? Now, before I get, you know, go any further, please don't take the words out of context because some people say, well, I know it's not going to be perfect, so that does not alleviate you from this conversation. Listen to what I'm saying. How you doing, Ms. Monique? Okay. We want the marriage, and we want the marriage to run smoothly. But do you understand when we put anything before God, we become materialistic? In other words, we put, okay, place no idols before me. An idol is something that's material, that's tangible, that you can put your hands on. So we want the marriage when our marriage with God is not right. Why is it that you want him to be perfect? Why is it that you want her to be perfect? You don't want him to cheat, but you cheat on God all the time. See, you see how this trickle-down effect goes? And we become materialistic. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, Ms. Bridget and Ms. Butler and Ms. Ivy? Let me ask you this for a quick second. And don't get mad at me now, but we got to be honest, right?
Right.
Yes, you ever find yourself demanding more from a spouse or a relationship than what you give to God? In other words, you don't want nobody to cheat on you. You don't want nobody to cut you short. You want everybody to take care of you. You want them to, you know, you say what a man should do. You say what a woman should do. But do you find yourself where you demanding more of them than what you give to God?
Come on. That's real.
How you doing, Miss Rhonda and Miss Kim? Do you find yourself doing that? How you doing, Miss Melissa? When we start demanding more from items than we give to God, you know that kind of sways us into the area of being materialistic. In other words, that possession literally starts to have us. Uh-oh. How you doing, Miss Kim? Huh? Y'all know that? How materialistic... We want the perfect, don't you know your marriage, how you doing, Miss Tara? Okay. Your marriage can become an idol. The Bible says, no idols before me. You're more into your husband than you are into God. How do you know this, Mr. Carr? Why would you say that? That's not true. God come first. Well, then if God come first, why then when you don't talk to God, you don't cry, but when you don't hear from that man, you cry?
Okay. Tell it.
Come on, somebody. Nobody don't want to talk to me out there, Mr. DJ?
Hey.
Y'all, this what I'm trying to, we're trying to get
from you.
Yeah, we're trying to get to the root of being materialistic. Don't you know, just like a man treats you like a trophy, that's materialistic. How do you know this? It's not so much just how you look. It's what you bring to the table.
Right.
He might like your intellect. Your intellect is what is his safety net. He don't need someone who looks like a dime piece. He just needs someone who can help him get back on his feet.
Mm.
How you doing, Miss Dawn? Okay. So how materialistic are we? Oh, that's marriage, Mr. DJ. Let me go here for a second. How materialistic are we? What about the things that we real close? Oh, our children, family. How you doing, Miss Jennifer and Miss Bianca? What about that? Don't you know we so materialistic that all we want, all we ever want is just a child or children or the perfect family? But here's the thing. When we have the perfect family in Christ, why don't we treat it with the utmost respect? In other words, we start to form our materialism off of what we see. Materialistic people walk by sight. Spiritual people faith. Now, before you say, well, I do walk by faith, but then why do we garner all these natural things? Why do we smile when the natural things happen? Why don't we smile when the spiritual things are to come? Because if we are not, that means I smile even though I don't have the car. That means I smile even though I don't have the family. That means I smile even though I don't have the degree, nor the belt, nor shoes. That means I smile. See, listen to me, people. See, when you're materialistic, your happiness is predicated on by what you obtain. But if you got God already, why are you not happy? I thought you said me plus God is the majority. So if you got God, that's all you need. Let me question you on that. Do you really mean that when you say you got God, that's all you need? Because I'm going to put your materialism to the test now, Mr. DJ. Why is this? Because if you got God, why then do you say, I got to have this, I got to have that? Huh?
Oh, true.
Our happiness is predicated on the items that we obtain. In other words, we'll say, man, 5 years ago, y'all don't know where I came from. That was the worst time of my life. How is that the worst time of your life? Materialistic people say that's the worst time of their life. You know why it makes it the worst part is? Because you're materialistic, and what happens is, what you're saying is, I couldn't get what I wanted.
Oh,
so now,
wish.
Come on, y'all, I'm trying to help somebody.
Oh, come on.
What we wanted, we couldn't get the job, we couldn't get the car, we could barely pay our kids' tuition, so now that's the worst time of our life. But I thought you wasn't materialistic. How could that be the worst time of your life when God would say it's the best time of your life because that's when he had all your attention?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes. Y'all, how materialistic are we? Do our worldly possessions possess us? How you doing, Ms. Sharon?
Come on.
Do our worldly possessions possess us? Now, you know, Mr. DJ, people are going to say all day long, my worldly possessions don't possess me. I possess everything. I own everything that I have. Okay.
Mm.
You own it.
Okay. Okay.
To what degree?
Come on.
Come on, Ms. Catrice. So let's get to the first email question. What we got, Ms. Tiana? The first question is, can your Bible be an idol? Boy, I'm waiting. Can your Bible be an idol?
Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it can. Yes. I say yes, it can. Even right now in Atlanta, there's still a big controversy over Dr. King's Bible. His kids are at war and got to go to court because one of them said don't sell the Bible. That's his Bible. The other says it's a Bible. I mean, with the other versions of the Bible, it's a Bible. His son said sell it. It's a Bible. If they're going to give you so many millions for that Bible, we can get another one. But the daughter said, no, don't sell it. That's King's Bible. Don't sell it. So, yes, it can be considered an idol.
So can you, okay, how you doing, Ms. Holiday? Can your Bible be an idol? Ms. LaTonya said, yes, it can be. Ms. Sharon said, yes, it can. Ms. Tiana said, yes, indeed. People hold on to it. Instead of hiding the word in our hearts.
In our heart, exactly.
Can your Bible be an idol? What we got? What you say, Ms. Jennifer? Because, you know, materialistic people like materialistic things. We like natural stuff. Can your Bible be an idol?
Yes.
Ms. LaTonya, can you explain why you... What you say, Ms. Tiana?
Would love to share. There was a movie that came out several years ago. I can't remember the name, but it was with Denzel. And the gist of the movie was him trying to travel across the U.S. To get to a location to deliver God's word.
Gotcha.
Throughout the whole movie. Thank you. The Book of Eli.
Yes.
The entire movie, he was traveling with a case. And everyone was trying to still take the case from him, et cetera, because they thought that that had some value in it. They didn't necessarily know that that's what he was carrying, but they were always looking to scavenge whatever the people had. It was a bunch of scavengers across the journey. But when he finally got to his destination and when it was time for him to share the word, it was all memorized. There was no book with him. It was what he carried with him. what was.
Okay, how you doing, Ms. Candace? What's going on, Keaton? So, the book of Eli. Can your Bible be an idol? Here's the deal. We talk about materialistic individuals or materialism, or, you know, how do we handle our worldly possessions? You doing, Miss Sharon?
Mm-hmm.
Of course our Bible can be an idol. Miss Jennifer said she didn't think so. It can be an idol. Let me show you how your Bible becomes an idol. Watch this. Hold on, y'all. Watch this. So this is a Bible, right? Y'all can see me on Facebook Live. This is a Bible. How many people willing to stand on a Bible? You see this Bible?
Yes.
I let mine hit the ground. As a matter of fact, I'm standing on mine. Somebody say that's disrespectful. Watch this. You want to tear the Bible up? I can throw mine around. Don't matter. How is that? Lord have mercy. I'm about to explain this, Dennis. Come on. How is the Bible? You think this is what makes you get to heaven, the Bible? Well, hold on. I'm about to show us an example because I want everybody to understand this. That's how materialistic people think. If the Bible was your key to get to heaven, that means every person who went to school and got books should pass.
Come on.
Just because you got a book bag. Come on now. Just because you got a book sack full of books don't mean that you're educated. Hello?
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
I don't think Amen. Y'all hear me.
That's right.
True.
And Mr. Clark, some people think my Bible signed by Christ or Moses himself. So I would rather have that than to have Christ.
Uh-huh.
Some people
What's going on, Donald Ray?
More so than having Christ.
So what we do is put emphasis because of tradition, and we become materialistic. So we have a Bible in the car. We have a Bible in the bathroom. We have a Bible that go to church. We got a Bible that... And then when we're about to sin, we literally put the Bible in the little thing, you know, when we go to the hotel next to the drum, we tuck it away. We don't want the Bible to see us as if God can't see you. My God.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
Emphasis on the Bible than God himself. Ain't that something?
It is.
Sir.
It is.
I'm about to explain to you, Miss Jennifer. Ms. Jennifer said, so how else do you study God's word if you don't have the Bible? Oh, you can study God's word without the Bible. Watch this. I'm about to help somebody out. Ooh, I'm glad, Ms. Jennifer. I like it. Keaton said, like a good luck charm. How you doing, Ms. Clara? Ms. Jennifer, some people don't have a Bible in the world. Do you think they're going to go to hell because they don't have the word? Or do you think the Bible says, remember, in the Bible it says, you know, he that's in you is he that's greater than... Something is in you telling you to do right. I need to read to what to do right? Or is it something in my spirit, man? You know, genetically, you will act like your mama and your daddy in some way, shape, or form. You know that? So if we got spiritual connection with Jesus when we're born again, if genetically I don't have to ask them how to live, I'm going to automatically act kind of like them. How is it spiritually? You know, spiritually is more deeper than, way deeper than genetics, right? Spiritually, Oh, my God, if I'm born of Jesus, how can I not act like him? Do you think I need to read the word, or is the word just confirmation? See, somebody don't need confirmation. See, when you got it, Keaton, you know what I'm talking about, huh, Keaton? Come on, talk to me, Keaton, though. See, Keaton, when you're good at football, when you got it, nobody don't have to confirm how good you are, whether they say you bad or good. Michael Jordan had earplugs. He didn't care.
Yes.
Ain't there something? Huh? Some people don't have a Bible. Miss Jennifer, truth be told, I don't go into my Bible like that. Oh, my God. Now, some people are going to back up just because I just said that. You know why? See, some people just have, you know, spiritual guidance. You know that?
Yes.
Uh-oh, Miss. Oh, it's about to get deep.
Yes.
Materialistic people, man, watch this now. Materialistic people say, I need the wedding band. But somebody who's really mad say, whether I wear a wedding band or not, that don't validate the substance of my marriage. Woo!
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Come on. Hello.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? See, Jesus said,
yes.
Who do you call me? He wasn't materialistic. See, some people say you need to call, say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. call me apostle, call me pastor, call me bishop. But see, when you really know who you are, you don't need the title. You don't have to be materialistic.
Yes.
God told him not to tell nobody who he was. In other words, let me say this again. People put their hand on the Bible and say, put your hand on the Bible. They say in the court of law. The court of law say, put your hand on the Bible. What's going on, E-40? When has the court of law ever did anything God's way? You serious right now? The dollar bill saying, God, we trust. The Bible can be an idol when you don't use it correctly.
Amen. Amen.
Because you put more trust in the Bible than who is the Bible talking about. I can give all my Bible to whoever wants it. We get so enamored by our Bibles, so materialistic, that we put our names engraved on the Bible. What that mean?
Come on.
Reference.
Come on.
My God.
Reference. Yep.
What if you had? What if God told you to get that Bible to somebody else?
Exactly.
Okay.
Remember, let me show you how much of an idol it can become. Let me show you what God said. How you doing, Miss Takesha? God said himself, hide the word in your heart. In other words, the Bible don't have nothing. He said, hide the word in your heart. Well, God is his word. That means if I never read the Bible, I still got God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And those people around him then didn't have no Bible neither. God was the word. The word was God. Christ's disciples, apostles, that was a part of the Bible then, and those people played a significant role in heaven and walking the earth. What I'm saying is it's not about the Bible, it's what's in it. That's what needs to be protected.
Exactly.
Okay, so Ms. Jennifer said, so some pastors use electronic Bibles when preaching. So is that electronic device an idol also? Ms. Jennifer, you missed it. Hold on, Beth. Y'all chill out. How you doing? All right. Miss Jennifer, you're misinterpreting. Slow down with this now. Mm-hmm. Well, listen to me good. I said the Bible can be an idol. I didn't say it was an idol. See, sometimes we start to jump the gun. You know what an idol, the Bible said, Lord have mercy. Let me break this down now. That man can be abusive. They didn't say he was abusive. That woman can be a whoremonger. No one ever said she was one. We said the Bible can be an idol. Just because you read the Bible don't make it an idol. The idolatry comes in when you put more emphasis on this piece of paper. And you've got where to say that in the Bible. Where to say it in your heart. When God's going to start to speak to you, there's going to come a time when you don't have no electronic nor physical device to read. So when will you get God? Some places don't allow you to even have your Bible. See, what happens is we start to depend on it more than we depend on the word of God.
Amen.
That book can become an idol when you say, where's my Bible, instead of saying, where's my God?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever said that it was an idol, I said it could be an idol. So please don't change the narrative now. Let's not do that. Trump do that enough, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to stay within arm's reach of the truth now. Okay, so the Bible very well can be an idol because simply, here's the thing. Satan wants us to get so enamored with materialistic stuff to where we even wear a cross around our neck as if we saved. You know how many people wear a cross around their neck and they didn't just kill somebody and gonna do it again?
Come on. So
yes,
true.
So if the cross can be an idol, you don't think your Bible can be an idol?
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, Ms. Doris? Just because you use it don't make it an idol. What is your intent and purpose behind it?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Monique? Well, Ms. Melissa said, I think that people worship the physical factor of the Bible and not the power of the message in the Bible. Is that right? And you're absolutely right, Ms. Melissa. You're absolutely right. And that's what happens. People, see, what happens, this is how the Bible becomes, how you doing, Ms. Keisha, becomes an idol. How you doing, Ms. Neal? When you start to worship it versus the one who sent it.
Amen.
We become materialistic. Why do you think so many people have different versions of the Bible and so many different Bibles? The Bible says, let me show you what the Bible said, what God said, okay? The Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. He never said through the Bible. In other words, you can have a Bible and go straight to heaven.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can quote your Bible every day and go straight to hell, but you cannot live the life that God said to live and go to hell.
So true.
So we become materialistic with what we carry around. This is why they say, this is why so many parents say, where your Bible at? You're making that child be materialistic. You're saying, where your Bible at? Hold on, here's the thing. How much is it, did they learn every day? I'm talking about Monday through Saturday. Did you teach them the Bible with how you live? Or why are you telling them to go grab a Bible and you just want them to put on for show? This is why them same young kids you said, where your Bible is now new adults. Now we the adults and we saying, where your Bible at? Wow, that's what make you the Christian, your Bible.
Mm.
If that be the case, the people who have the most Bibles are the most holy. Ain't that something? So we become materialistic. We become materialistic even in the spiritual realm, y'all. And what we start doing is we think we play in God. Right? Watch what I mean by that. Okay? We become
That's
so materialistic. If you're not careful, you'll find out that even the congregation is merely pawns. And what I mean by pawns, P-A-W-N-S. In other words, the more members I have, I must be doing some solid preaching, right? And that's my pastor, and that church is great. Look at all the people that go there. Now all of a sudden, you have switched from preaching the word of God to just obtaining people, because the more I get, the more money I can get. And even if I don't get the money, I do got the power, because look at the influence I have. Now I'm using people as materialism. See, in other words, I'm preaching a good word when I know all the people out there. See, I'm materialistic. See, materialism goes in different. Some people try and gain a lot of money. Some people want a lot of power. Some people want accolades. But then some people just want you to sit in their pews. Materialistic.
Yes, indeed.
What's going on, Trey? And God is talking to y'all. Because, see, nothing should come before God. And we become materialistic in all essence of the word materialism. Okay, because what happens is things start to possess us. When God gave it to you to possess and control, it's okay to have money. It's okay to have your Bible. It's okay to have your peers. It's okay to have these things. But see, what you should be telling money to do is what God tells you to do with it. See, what we do is we let money tell us what to do. And this is why we become grumpy old men with a lot of money. Because we're materialistic. Oh, yeah. This is when people say they just thirsty. What are they thirsty for? Money, attention, power, respect. They're materialistic. Materialism goes beyond his clothing. Oh, it goes to a whole nother level. That's right. Go ahead and share it, Miss Doris. All right? Let's get to it. Mr. DJ, I'm about to throw you in there. What we got next, Miss Tiana? What question we had out there?
Mr. Clark.
Yes, sir. What you had, Mr. DJ?
Before you do that, I had a question of someone that was trying to get it in is, am I considered materialistic if the only time I come to church is for a funeral?
Oh.
Are you considered materialistic? What's going on, Bear? What you saying now?
If the only time they come to church is for a funeral.
You want me to answer that or you going to answer that?
I mean, that's out to everybody. I'm saying that was just a question that was trying to get through.
Okay. Well, let me answer that one real quickly because I don't want to divulge in that too much. No, you're not materialistic. God will meet you where you are, not when it comes to stuff like that. That don't make you materialistic. Okay? Mm. That don't make you materialistic because let's properly define the word materialistic. What you got, Miss Tiana? When we say when we say someone is materialistic, what are we saying?
So basically that they are putting things, they allow things to rule their life. Things come before everything else.
Materialistic is when you start to hoard things other than God himself. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay. And then I'm going to take it a step further. Materialistic can actually be us hoarding God and not share him with someone else. We want more of God, more of God, more of God. But when do you disperse what you already got?
Amen.
The Bible says, do not withhold any good thing from those who deserve it. In other words, watch this, y'all. I'm not materialistic. Watch this. Don't you know that God can pour into you and you never pour into other people?
Yes, sir.
True.
And he said, don't withhold any good thing. What's going on, Neil and Ms. Jessica? So he said, don't withhold any good thing. So what happens is, since all good things come from the good Lord, and we start holding back and not giving people what they need, what's really going on?
Right.
So we become spiritual hoarders. A hoarder is nothing more than a materialistic person. See, we don't believe that hoarders are materialistic, but here's the thing. Uh-oh, y'all hear me now. Hoarding is subjective when it comes to what they hoard. It may be trash to you, but it's gold to them.
Yeah.
So being materialistic, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has value to you. A materialistic person sees it as valuable.
When you agree something else is going on there, though, too, Mr. Carr?
A lot is going on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if a person only wants to come to church for a funeral, I mean, why does that have to be the only time that you want to step foot into the church or gather, you know, just to see somebody else?
That's
of course,
right.
If you're the one in there, you don't have no choice. But I'm just saying, why is that the only time? I just see something else is going on there other than, you know, forms of materialism. But I'm saying, why would that be the only time you want to come to church?
Well, you know, people have varying reasons, but, you know, we'll tackle that one a little later, DJ. We'll tackle that one. Hold on to the tip of that one, all right? So, Ms. Cam, let's get to our next question right quick.
Yeah, one we received was, can materialism be passed down from previous generations?
Can materialism be a generational curse, basically?
Yes, sir.
Can being materialistic be a generational curse? Come on, y'all. Can put that question up there for everybody, Ms. Tiana.
Yes.
Being materialistic be a generational curse? What you got to say, Mr. DJ?
I say absolutely yes.
Okay.
It's almost like monkey see, monkey do. You know, that's all you know and been exposed to and been around, then yes. It's going to be the exact same thing. It's going to continue.
Okay. Miss Jennifer, what you say? Miss Jennifer, my dear. Miss Jennifer, you know I love you, yeah. Okay. Miss Jennifer said yes. Okay. Miss Jennifer, explain to me why you said yes. Miss Doris said yes. Miss Doris, explain. Miss Katina said yes. Miss Katina, y'all, all right, explain to me why y'all say yes. Because I'm not saying I disagree on anything like that, but can materialism be a generational curse?
Absolutely.
Basically. So sometimes we have, Miss Tiana, we have swag because mom and daddy have swag.
Well, yeah. We have
taste because grandmama had expensive taste. Miss Tiana, what you say? Materialism
I say yes.
Okay.
I say absolutely yes. I can look at the hand-me-downs, right? We may say hand-me-downs and think negatively because I got my brother's clothes. But we have the hand-me-downs, which is, you know, my mama's pearls or, you know, my grandmama's brooch. We hold on to these things as if they are the center of our world. It absolutely can be a generational curse because if it's lost, it's like we've lost everything. Our world has come to an end. Well, no, it's just a thing.
I got a question for y'all. Miss Tiana just opened that door, Mr. DJ, I got a question. Here's the thing. So just because can materialism be a generational curse? Okay, so we said yes. Okay, I'm not going to say I disagree because I agree with them. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Does it make you, here's my question, let me throw out a question. Does it make you materialistic when you hold on to things that was passed down to you? Uh-oh, here go the question, y'all. Remember we talking about how do we manage these worldly possessions, materialism. Does it make you materialistic when you hold on to things that was passed down to you? How you doing, Ms. Gibson? How are you? Ms. Monique said yes. No, to the other question. She said yes, because if you are not taught different, then that's how you all you know. Okay. So here's the current question. Does it make you materialistic when you hold on to things that were passed down to you?
No.
No. Only if you put value in it.
Okay. No, no.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all, that's a strong question. Does it make you materialistic when you hold on to things that were passed down to you? Absolutely not. Y'all correct. Tell you why it doesn't make you materialistic. And I'm going to show you. Now, we got to scathe this thing. We got to teeter this line very carefully. It doesn't make you materialistic when God tells you to hold on to it. Samson. God told Samson to hold on to his hair. Samson let Delilah cut it. I wonder if Delilah was saying, you so materialistic, let go of the truth. Just tell me what got you there. And she said, he finally told her, because you know Samson lied to Delilah 3 times. Okay. God told him, you know why? Because there was his covenant with God that was passed down from generation to generation to generation. Ain't that something?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. Now, does it make you materialistic when you hold on to things that were passed down to you? Y'all listen to this. Now let me show you. I showed you the story of Samson, and we said no when you hold on to it. But God didn't tell him to let it go. It does make you materialistic when God said let it go, because remember the rich young ruler. God, he said, God, I have done all this, that, and other. He went to Jesus himself, the rich young ruler in the Bible. He had all these things. Right. Jesus sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. See, when you hold on to things that were passed down to you that God said let go, that makes you material.
Yeah.
See, when God tells you to let it go and you don't let it go, that makes you materialistic.
All right.
Well, I'm about to go somewhere with this. God said let your child go. That's his child. Have you let him go yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Now, how you know? Mr. Carr did give him up to God. How did you give him up to God? You praying for them that didn't give them up to God. You know how you let them go and give them up to God? Is you show them and you tell them, thus says the Lord, every day of their life. But here's the problem, though. Here's a problem with materialistic.
Take credit.
Materialistic people know more about Jehovah than they know about God. They know more about fat forms than they do about God. They know more about Louis Vuitton than they know about God. They know more about, what's that lingerie shop? Victoria's Secret. She don't have no
secret
no more. But they know about that, more about that than they know about God. See, materialistic people can't tell their child, thus said the Lord. That's why they tell them what they know. And
right.
That's how not how to survive in the world spiritually.
Amen.
Uh-oh. What you say, Ms. Katina? If you see mama or daddy spending money, they don't have and living a lavish lifestyle, okay. Then you want to run up credit cards too, okay. What'd you say? Maybe you are supposed to pass it on to the next family member or to bless someone else. That's right, Ms. Jennifer. How you doing, Ms. Jennifer? What's going on, Donna? Okay. So, y'all, that's what it is. So, just because you hold on to something that was passed down does not make you materialistic. However, when God tells you to release something and you don't release it, Lord have mercy, that makes you materialistic. You know, how many people we have on here? Oh, the number's about to decrease right now. Watch this. Watch what I say. This is why the number's decreasing, because people don't like the truth. We say we love God, but then we run from the truth. Do you not understand that the truth and God are the same thing? They one?
Yes.
He's the way, he's the life, he's the truth, he's the truth, he's the way, the life. Okay, that is God. Y'all know that, huh? Okay.
Yes,
so when we run from the truth, how can we run from something that we say we love? Okay, I just want to disclaim out there. So, God say pay the first fruit of what you make. In other words, out the gate, pay him his 10% of whatever you earned. Why are we trying to get slick with different ways? Well, what he mean by the first 10? Is that the gross or is that the net? Does it matter?
Mm.
Or you do either one?
Wow.
Uh-oh. That's when people start running there. That's when they run. Oh, they don't want to talk about money. Because if this call is about making money and getting possessions, then we own it. Everybody's ear tight. We're going to share with everybody on the internet. But as soon as they talk about what we give God, then we run. But I thought you said you love God. You know, like when you tell that man, if you love your child, you're going to pay for your child. Well, if you love God then, if paying is the standard, how much do we say we love God? Now, hold on. It's going to arrest us when we don't pay. Okay.
Mr. Carr, why are we calling that materialistic? Mr. Carr?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I was just saying, why, I'm just sitting up here listening at you. Why are we calling those type people materialistic? Where I'm from, that's called hard head. If God tell you to do something, you obey.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm
look, Mrs. DJ, Miss Melissa said, Miss Melissa said, I think that it can make us materialistic because we begin to worship things that were left for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hold a certain and monetary value to it. Of course, you're right, Miss Melissa. We would not part with it, with these things because of our own internal struggles. All right. How you doing, Miss Arlene and Miss Tamika? Miss Jamise, how are you? What's going on, Trion? Y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So materialism goes a long way. You know, do your items possess you? How do you know your items possess you? Let's do a quick test. If God told you to let it go, will you let it go?
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Somebody, hold on. Somebody
Come
say,
on.
Yes, I will. Now, you know, if that's the only car you got, and God said, let it go, and
come
follow
on.
Me, would you let that Altima go? Somebody say, how you know I had Altima? I didn't know that. I'm just messing. But would you let that car go?
Be obedient.
How you doing, Ms. Hunt? Somebody say, I let my car go, Mr. DJ. They got a truck. That's why they said it. But would you let it go? Would you let it all go?
Somebody said, do what Spike Lee said, Mr. Carr. Get on the bus.
Get on the bus. Y'all see that?
Yes.
All right. So let's see. We had another question out there from Miss LaTanya. Let's see what she said. Miss LaTanya said, if my sister or brother is in need of financially, and I have already previously helped them, would it be wrong to not lend a helping hand again if I have not gotten the okay? You answered your own question. You know what time it is. Don't tell you to okay it. But let me say this. Let me back that. Let me pause on that right quick. Let me stop. Because we're talking about materialism. I don't want nobody to be going left. Some things your mama don't have to tell you no more because your mama has schooled you enough. Some things your daddy don't have to tell you personally because your dad has schooled you enough. True that? Well, when you know God and you know how God will respond, much like when they was on the boat going to the Gadarenes, why did they have to wake him up? Actually, he rebuked the storm and them. He was upset. In other words, when God teaches you better, you know better, you do better. Why do you wait on God to say yes or no when you know what he would tell you already? Y'all got to hear me. This is materialistic, people. Watch this. A lot of times we say we got to pray about things that we don't want to do. Hold on.
Yeah.
I know a lot of some people on that one. Whenever somebody don't really want to do it, they'll say, let me pray about it. But since when do you ever hear somebody saying, hey, let me go pray before I go to Shishi's, or let me go pray before I go to Club Onyx, or let me go pray before I go have that social drink? When do you hear people praying about that?
Mm. I'm
going to wait on these answers now. There go my girl, Ebony. How are you? Ebony, I didn't know you was a school principal over there. What's going on, Mike? Shamika, how are you? Ms. Lee. All right. Ms. Arlene, what you said? If he made a way, he will make another and could be preparing you for a better blessing. That's correct. O'Neill, what you say? Sometimes the worst materialism is passed down. Ooh, that's true, O'Neill. Okay. Sometimes the worst materialism is passed down. For example, when a grandparent dies, leave some money or a house, and you can sometimes see family fight over those material things. Oh, O'Neill, you're hitting it on the head, man. They forget that they are fighting with their own blood. Man, O'Neill, that's right. Don't y'all know from generation to generation, because we're talking about materialism, people become so materialistic, they're no longer worried about the parent, the grandparent that passed on. They fighting over the items, and there were several family ties. You know how many families have been split apart because of foolishness?
Yes.
O'Neill, that's a high five, man. That's what's up. That's true. Ms. Tamika said never. Okay. Yeah, okay. What's going on, Corey? All right. All right, Evan, I ain't going to tell nobody else. That's between me and you. All right. Ms. Arlene, what you say? If you lend money, the best way to avoid lending again, lend enough the first time, and if they do, if they are hard to pay back, problem solved.
Problem solved.
I don't know about that, Ms. Arlene. I agree with you. You know I love you. Don't lend too much because some people, when you live too much, it's almost like that cat that's not yours that come around. You give too much milk, it's going to come back.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. So materialism, people, that's what we're talking about. And, O'Neal, you hit a point. I'm telling you, man, that's strong. When people just give stuff, people get so infatuated with the property that's being left behind, they don't care that that's their mother. They will fight with their own mother, their own father, their own sister and brother.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows that's in the house. Don't let it be an auntie or cousin. You know that's gone. That's done. What you say, Ms. Jennifer? Jennifer say, if that person is in need, why not help them out, regardless of how many times you help someone? Why do you have to ask God to help someone if you have the money? All right, high five. That's right. If you have it, you don't have to ask God to help somebody. You know, when people materialistic people do stuff like this. And y'all tell me if I'm right or not. We're not throwing nobody under the bus. Topic is, we're talking about materialism, materialistic people. How do we manage worldly possessions? Okay, so we're talking about materialism. So, Ms. Jennifer, you have to fight. For instance, you know, in a church house when somebody says something going on and what people say, I'm going to pray for you, baby. Now, watch this. You just got that raise about 2 months ago. Huh? You just got that raise. You don't think that raise was for them. Uh-oh, let me say this again. Materialistic people, you don't think that the raise was to help somebody. You thought that the raise was to help you. See, just because your life's on, you want to make sure, because see, now you're just trying to buy a property. But what if God gave you the raise to actually help people who need help? Oh, God wouldn't do that, huh? Come on. God wouldn't give you a raise to help people that's outside of your domain?
Mm.
Yes, indeed.
I wonder, Ms. Ebony, look, watch this, Ms. Jennifer. That's strong, Ms. Jennifer. I wonder about the Good Samaritan. Because he came back and said, I'm going to pay this man's way, and what is owed, I'm going to come back and pay you the rest. Huh. Wow. Y'all got it? Ms. Tamika, I was told, what you said, Ms.? I was told don't even lend if you can't afford to give it. That's right. Ms. Tamika, that's right. If you can't give with a cheerful heart, don't you lend to nobody, because what happens is materialistic people don't give with a cheerful heart. You know, materialistic people, they write stuff down. If they don't write it down naturally, they done written it down in their heart. You know how you know this? They'll start, Tiana, you know DJ owed me some money. Now, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody else. Owe me some money. See, materialistic people start keeping accounts of wrongs. Remember, the Bible says L-O-V-E does not keep, love doesn't keep a record of wrongdoing. You know that? See, materialistic people, when we are, do you know if you borrow a sweater from somebody, you know they ain't going to forget that, especially if they're materialistic. But you know the person who's not materialistic don't even miss it. They keep it moving. My question is, what have we borrowed from God and he asked you for it back? I'm waiting on that answer. How we know God not materialistic. See, possessions don't possess God. He laid down his own life. So if he laid down his life, what more will he not give? Materialistic people don't lay down nothing for nobody else, let alone their life for God. They say they will lay it down for God, but they can be proved differently. You know that?
Yes, indeed.
You know they can be proved differently, right? Because the Bible, how you know it can be proved differently? Because the Bible clearly says, how can you love me, someone you have never seen? So how can you lay your down life for me, someone you have never seen, yet you can't love your brother? You won't give to people on a daily basis. You won't give to somebody a dollar, let alone give me your life. Uh-oh, let me move on. Ms. Ebb, never move on. I don't want people to, you know. You know. All right. What Ms. Ebb say, bless them anyhow, okay? All right. Ms. Arlene, what you said, and then let the property deteriorate. That's right. Instead of giving to the less fortunate in the family. That's how you create family wealth. You are absolutely right. See, materialistic people, the rich get richer. But if you're not materialistic, you see where there's a need and you fill the pothole. In other words, you want everybody to be equal. So you give it to the less fortunate. Now, here's the thing. A lot of time materialistic people say stuff like this. They make reasons why we don't give it to the poorest family member because they poor for a reason. They don't know how to handle it. Why don't you teach them? When you see error, you correct error. Help them. Hold on. How you doing, Ms. Sharada, Ms. Beverly? What's going on, Jimmy? Okay. All right, let's get to it. What else we got? What else we got real quick, Ms. Tiana? What other questions we had out there?
One question I received is, in looking at this, should Christians give away their possessions?
Mr. DJ?
Should Christians give away their possessions, or did you say all of their possessions?
Should Christians give away all they possess?
Some things that you have are for you. I mean, God wants you to have them. They are for you. They're not for you to give away. They're for you. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then there are ways of giving back without giving away yours. For instance, knowledge. You can, each one can reach one and teach one. You can pass that along, but that don't mean you give it away as if, you know, you're losing it yourself. So I'm going to say, no, you don't give away all of your possessions. But those that are supposed to be given away, yes, you do.
Okay. So the question was, should Christians give away all they possess?
Mm-hmm.
You giving away all your possessions don't make you any more Christian.
Yes, indeed.
Being said, they came all with them. All right. How you doing, Ms. Angela and Ms. Joyce? But you giving away all your possessions don't make you Christian. Women, y'all gonna high five me on this one, women, fellas. Don't get mad.
Uh-oh.
Women, all women, just because player gave away his black book with all them numbers in it don't mean he ain't a player.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at DJ's amen. Just because the player gave away his black book to you and he threw it all away don't mean that he sit on that. Man, listen. Just because you give away all your possessions don't mean. Just because you gave away everything that you had, that don't make you more Christian. And just because you gave it all away don't mean that you're not materialistic. You can give away everything and still be materialistic. Don't you understand that?
Yes, sir.
It's like
yes,
new growth. Hold on, watch this. It's called new growth. Come on, women. Y'all can attest to this, right? You
yes.
don't shave your hair to go bald necessarily. Sometimes you shave it just so you can get some new patches going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yes.
So get rid of stuff. Y'all know how you tell your kids it's time to go through. Oh, you go through your closet? Y'all know we materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a down south thing, like a mug, right? So we go through our closet, get rid of all that's in our closet. The reason why we do that is because we're making room for no more new stuff. In other words, we still materialistic just because we gave to the homeless.
Yes.
Because
right.
we accumulate
yes.
again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. What you said? What you said, Ms. Jennifer? Like the song says, what God has for me is for me. All right. Well, oh, Ms. Jennifer said, once a player, always a player. Ms. Jennifer about to start her. Woo! I ain't going to do that, Ms. Arlene. I'm going to leave that alone. All right, y'all. Let me get to a few questions real quick, okay? So, possessions, materialism. Let's talk about this real quickly, okay? Is there anything in your life that possesses you that you don't possess? How you doing, Ms. Demi?
Say that again, Mr. Carr.
Anything in your life that possesses you that you don't possess? In other words, it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. Can somebody, you know, correctly address that? Break that down. Because everybody else needs to hear this too. Okay? Because we're talking about being materialistic. We want to make sure that we're not materialistic. What does one mean, you know, it's okay to have things as long as the things don't have you? How can you discern when something has someone? What are the telltale signs when something has someone?
You take your eyes off God.
When you take your eyes off God.
Yeah.
I would have to say fear. Sometimes fear possesses us.
Hold on. Mr. DJ, now you're going to spiritual route because that is still being materialistic. Just because you may not have natural items, you have spiritual items that make you material. See, the Bible said he didn't give us a spirit of fear. So don't y'all know that we can be materialism the more fear we hold on to?
That's right.
Yes. Also, when we worry about that thing.
That's right. Worry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Worry can, possess us. What's going on, Frank White? What's going on, man? You still doing that rapping, man? I see you. Okay. Miss Monique said, when they can't leave without it. That's correct. Now, the reason why I did possessions first, let's talk about prosperity. What is your definition of prosperity? Miss Jennifer says, when you can't go without it, and you just have to have it. All right. What is your definition of prosperity? Because, see, I know by now, this is, what are we at? It's 2017? We're almost in 2018,
yes.
Right? All right.
Yes.
So what's going on? Why everybody preach on prosperity? What is the real definition of prosperity? What is this about? What is prosperity?
Prosperity is
rich
and benefits.
All right.
Simply put, benefits.
Benefits, okay. Yeah, Slugger, man, I'll be checking out on Instagram, man. You're doing your thing. What you say prosperity is what? Benefits?
Yeah, benefits.
All right. So benefits, y'all. Prosperity, Ms. Latanya said prosperity is success. Ms. Arlene said riches and not just monetary. Okay. Okay. Uh-oh, Ebony. What'd you say, Ebony? Having it all. Prosperity. Do y'all think that people can confuse the definition of prosperity? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Hold on, Ms. Ebony. We're about to get a challenge. What'd you say, Slugger? Slugger said prosperity is growth within. Absolutely.
Amen.
Man, he going somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
World of possessions. All right. Miss Melissa say prosperity is when you are rich in your spirit and not in pocket. All right.
That's right.
Jennifer, I'm going to cut that out. Miss Jennifer say winning the lotto is a prosperity. All right. So hold on. Let me get back to the slug. Look, prosperity is growth within. Growth within. And that's true, y'all. That's deep. Because we hear prosperity teaching all the time. And don't you know that you become materialistic when you think that you have to have this, that, and the other, and you have no peace within? Not even growing within. So how prosperous are you? You can have all the money. Let me ask this question. Let me ask my boy Slugger. Slugger, people have all the money in the world, right? They have all the money in the world. Mr. DJ, check this out. They have all the money in the world. Why then do they still harm themselves, like commit suicide? Why? If they're so prosperous, why do they hurt themselves if they got it going on?
And money won't fix you.
Exactly. Possession.
That money gives you cross. Yeah, that money, most time money adds to your problems. We just, when we're not used to it, we think the grass is greener, but we don't know about the snakes and the rocks that's buried deep in that grass.
Yeah, that's deep, right? Prosperity. So,
yes.
Miss Tiana, we equate prosperity to a lot of natural things, right? But why would you get natural things, you soon find out that it wasn't all what it was hyped up to be. And now all of a sudden you got the cars. That's cool. You got the houses. That's cool. You got the husband or the wife, the kids, and everything else you want. You got the title. But you know what come along with that? And a lot of times we're not prepared for that, and it makes us miserable because the more money you have, don't you know that if you hit the lotto, you hit that lotto, that $100 million, guess how much you're leaving with? You're going to be mad because you're going to actually pay more in taxes than what you take home.
Tell it.
Right.
And you got more to take care of now.
And you got more to, because what happens is, Ms. Jennifer, everybody else done heard that you heard won lottery. So they want some of that prosperity too. Now, I know to change your number, but you know people will find you. You know, black folk find folks when they really.
Yeah.
So,
and Mr. Carr, prosperity is exactly what you're saying. I mean, you got some of us that think, you know, I used to hear the old folks say, I want Christ to be with me always. But as
right.
a little boy, I got to thinking about that. I be doing bad stuff sometimes. You know,
right.
You really don't, you know, we say we want him there with us all the time. But what about when you upset, when you're mad, somebody done cussed you out, or, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we say a lot of things, but we don't look deep within it.
That's right. So, y'all, look, we're gonna wrap it up with that one, Mr. DJ. That's great now. Prosperity is merely this. Check this out now, okay? Who could be more prosperous than Jesus himself?
All right.
Who can be more prosperous than Jesus himself? Nobody, right? So we got to be being materialistic. Because don't let someone confuse you. I don't care. Okay, how you doing, Pastor Bailey? I don't care that somebody is in the pulpit. Come on, man. Y'all, we got to be 100% real. Because we put more title than we do the God that we're supposed to serve. Okay? We respect pastor more than we respect God. And what happens is when we respect that individual, we're looking for affirmation and confirmation through them. Don't you know that they would appease your appetite, your flesh appetite? And what will happen is whatever pastors say, you start to believe. For instance, my pastor said this, and my pastor say that all the time. Tell me what your God say. See, the problem, we can't repeat what God says because we rarely listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
That's right.
All right.
Oh, how about that? Miss Ebony, if you or I in a relationship, Miss Ebony, why do I need Miss Jennifer to tell me what you said when I have a relationship with you and I can come talk to you on it? So if you got a personal relationship with God, why are you telling people what your pastor said?
Amen.
Ain't that something? How you doing, Miss Carla? Miss Lashana? What'd you say, Slugger? Money brings a temporary joy, but prosperity brings a permanent joy. So you have to let God lead your heart, but don't let your pockets or what you don't have lead your heart. That's actually right. All right, O'Neal, I'm going to catch you later, man. Okay? Uh-oh, Ebony says she fell in love with her pastor, Miss Ebony. Okay. Don't tell nobody that.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? So that's no knock on pastor anybody else. As a matter of fact, if you are pastors or leaders or whatever, you don't want the attention to be on you because you don't want to become somebody's idol. You let them know that I'm not your idol. I'm going to tell you where to go because I'm going to tell you where I get it from. I'm not going to take away business from Kentwood when I get the Kentwood water that you can buy on your own. I don't sell Kentwood. So the only way I can give you the word is through him. So let me tell you where I get mine from. So you can build a relationship with him and not me. Because I may have an off day and tell you something crazy. And then that blood can be on my hand. You done told God what God, he told me. I don't do that.
Yes, indeed.
That is a dangerous game. That's right. Miss Jennifer, what did we say? Why do pastors have to have a degree in order to preach God's word? How you doing, Miss Ebony? You say, why do pastors have to have a degree to preach God's word? How you doing, Miss Tamara, again? All right. Let me say this and we're gonna get off this line right here.
I can tell him, Mr. Carr.
All right. Why do pastors have to have a degree in order to preach God's word? Miss Jennifer, don't let nobody tell you different. A pastor does not have to have a degree. We can have pastors on the phone. I'm not about to sugarcoat them. Nothing. You do not have to have a degree. Who gave Jesus his degree?
Amen.
I'm gonna wait on it. Do you have to have a degree to be a parent? I'm going to wait on it. Do you have to have a degree to cook? I'm going to wait on it. See, a degree is a man-made materialistic item when people say, but you have to have it. No, you don't have to have it at all. You have to have the word of God in you. See, what God ordains, no man can. Lord, have mercy. Who can ordain but God?
That's right.
Amen. Disciples don't have a degree.
Miss Pastor Bailey says Jesus had no degree, but they called him teacher. Some people called him teacher. He was known as many different things.
That's right. Rabbi, teacher.
The degree didn't validate his ability. Well, see, some people, they called him teacher, but they also called him scum. Some people called him a liar, too. So we can't base it based on what people call one another. That don't validate what you are. Because not everybody calls him teacher.
Mm-hmm.
People call Jesus different things. The degree don't validate. And see, before we go further, we got to make sure. Because, see, typically, if I went to college, hear me out now, Uh-huh. Come on, Ebony, what you say? The pastor that you was in love with had many degrees and a lot of religion and also could do very wrong, too. See, here's the thing. Just because you went to college, typically people don't want people to have what they have. So if I went to college to get it, you know, misery loves company. I don't want you to get it as easy. You know, when Jesus spoke of the parable, come on now, in the vineyard, the one who worked with, you know, when he said, hey, you go work at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to pay you at 5 o'clock, I'm going to pay you $100. One went to go work at 10 o'clock, and he said, I'm going to pay you at 5 o'clock. But then they had one come at 3 o'clock, and he said, I'm going to pay you. But the other ones got mad. How you doing, Miss LaKeisha and Miss Tiffany? See, what happens is people start to justify what they went through so you don't get it as easy, and their misery loves company. You don't have to have a degree to serve and preach the word of God. If that be the case, how many people say, Pastor Carr? Come on, I'm about to go there for a second. I'm about to prove y'all something. They say, Pastor Carr. Well, guess what ministry school I went to? The one called Life.
Amen.
So pastor before me, and we can talk. So we don't have to debate nothing. But what part of the word that they know I don't? I'm going to tell you the truth. See, I'm not going to sugarcoat it because I owe no man nothing. So in other words, I don't have to play sneakaboo to get in your pocket. See, materialistic people do that. I'm giving you raw and truth. You understand? You do not have to have a degree to preach and teach the word of God. Don't let no devil fool you and tell you that. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because the degree don't get you into heaven.
Nope.
The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So tell me what degree you have again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the Bible says the foolishness of God would dumbfound the wisest person on the face of the earth. I love it because, see, I like talking to the pastors, not their congregation. You know why? Because I want to talk to the head honchos, because some are lying. The reason why they say you have to have a degree is because they don't want you to obtain what they got. Lord, have mercy.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all don't want to hear the truth, right? Materialistic people will tell you that it's hard to get a mansion. It's hard to be a millionaire because they don't want to encourage you. But people who are not materialistic will tell you, yes, you can, baby. It's not hard. You just have to put a little work behind it. Hello. What you say, Miss Ebony? My 2 degrees bring me nothing. That's absolutely right. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The doctorate degree makes you more of a, that don't mean nothing. Because remember, the Bible says that God judges the inner man. Man judges the outward. So they get degrees for man, but they don't get degrees for God. Because God can care less about your degree. Y'all want me to give y'all another example? Let's see how many degrees Moses had and tell me that he's not going to the promised land. Moses led the people from Pharaoh. Moses put the stick to the Red Sea and parted it. And did he go into the promised land? That don't mean he went to heaven. That don't mean that he didn't go to heaven. But I'm telling you, he didn't go into that promised land. So the degree don't mean that you're going to find pleasure with God. That don't mean that God is going to be pleased with you. See, so don't let people trick you. Have a relationship with God. Don't worry about that monetary stuff materialistic people do. They worry about what they possess. That's how you know their possessions have. But see, God came bare. God said he had no place. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He said foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, the Son of God has no place. In other words, I don't have a degree, yet alone a bed. Now what? I come as I am. Who do you say I am?
Yep.
That's something? Ain't something? All right.
It is.
Let's pray. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I totally agree with you. I always tell people that you, Mr. Carr, have a PhD, though. And that's the doctorate degree. The PhD is power to hold the devil back.
All right.
Anybody can obtain that degree. So that's
anybody
what I always
not.
Tell
people. That's right. Because to preach the word of God, you have to be a pastor in your own house. You have to be the head of your house.
Right.
Have a degree to be a pastor in your head house, in your house? The Bible said that the man should be the priest of the household. Tell me what degree does he have to have to... Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
All right. Because just because you don't have a degree, you still have... You are approved by God, not by man. Man give degrees to anybody. God don't. Let's go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ. Let's get it.
Bow your heads, close your eyes, open up your hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to you on humble knees as disobedient children. Before such a mighty, 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 mighty Father. We'd like to say thank you, Father. Thank you for waking us up. allowing us to sleep comfortably. For those of us that have been through the winter storm and those of us that may be under the fires out west or wherever we are on the sound of my voice, we like to say thank you, Father. Keep your arms around us. Keep us protected, Father. Father, thank you for bringing us together at the appointed time to feed off of your word, Father, not for our own gratification, but to lift up your word and to share it with others, Father. Thank you for keeping us grounded and rooted and not to be so materialistic, Father. We know that we are not perfect, Father, but we are striving to be. Every day we're striving to be just like you, and we want to say thank you, Father. Keep us on the path. Don't let us stray too far. And we ask for traveling grace and mercy until it's time for us to come back together again. We ask these blessings in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all have a great night. All right. That's right, Pastor Bailey. You got a PhD. Yes, you do. All right. Y'all have a great night, and we'll see y'all next Monday, same time. And then also check us out on Bible Study on Wednesday, 225-364-0211. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.